Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah. Welcome, Ya
Abu Sabah. Who joins us now on the mother of all talk shows, Issa? Wonderful to see you again. Let's start in Iraq. 19 years ago, shock and awe was unleashed on the people of Iraq to return the country to liberty and progress. How did it all work out?
Firstly, George, congratulations on the record-breaking numbers that you're receiving on this really much-needed show. I think it is, as you said, a consequence of the Iraq War, actually, a time when we saw millions of people. I was just a young man back then. I must have been around 19 years old on the streets of London marching with everyone else. Millions, literally millions of people. I was on Park Lane walking in the other direction. For hours, people were coming in this direction opposite me. At least 4 or 5 million. I got home that night and the BBC told me there were 50,000 people in London protesting. I knew at that point something wasn't right with the media and all the lies that we heard from Tony Blair and George Bush. Funnily enough, in your introduction, you mentioned war crimes and international courts. The United States have a principle that if any of their politicians are ever taken to The Hague for war crimes, the United States will simply invade the Netherlands. So it just goes to show who the rogue states really are in this day and age. And as you said, you know, in your question to me about Iraq, we saw just over 2 years ago the illegal murders of not only Haj Qasem Soleimani, but Abu Mehdi Mohandas, the leader of the Iraqi Hejd al-Sha'bi. And as a result of those killings, the Iraqi parliament voted to expel the Americans, to expel the occupation. The Americans, in return, threatened that they would take Iraq's oil money, which is held at the Federal Reserve Bank, and it's held much of it in New York, I believe, and would essentially bankrupt the country. We've seen that kind of financial piracy taking place, with Russia losing over $600 billion of its reserves overnight, causing shockwaves all the way to Beijing, no doubt. And so we see the kind of lawlessness that the Americans, through multiple presidencies, whether it's Bush, Obama or Trump, and now Biden, throwing international law in the air, ignoring the will of the people of Iraq and elsewhere. And really, the people of Iraq want to be free of occupation. And they fought an insurgency for, close to a decade. And since then, there's been much political agitation, despite the American attempts, of course, to try to manipulate the political situation there, to try to bribe their way through the situation and to try to get their quislings to prolong their stay. But I believe it's only a matter of time until the Americans withdraw physically, although, of course, their meddling hands will continue until they are taught a lesson.
Let's move next door to Iran. The last time I spoke to you, we were very hopeful about Lebanon. We could talk about Syria. But I've only time to talk with you about Yemen. People don't seem to know. Maybe they don't want to know. Maybe they've merely averted their eyes. And that right at the same time as there is a war in Ukraine, there is a war that's been going on for nearly 8 years in Yemen, in which both Britain and the United States are deeply, deeply involved. And there is a war between Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, in both of which countries Boris Johnson was on his knees just this week, and the poorest people in the entire Middle East, one of the poorest people in the world, in Yemen, who have been pulverized and slaughtered by high-intensity bombing for all these years, yet nobody seems to really care about it.
Absolutely. You know, the situation in Yemen has highlighted exactly how hypocritical and, frankly speaking, racist much of the media is, much of the political establishment is, and many people are, in fact, in the West. But interestingly enough, despite everything the people of Yemen have gone through, they are, of course, I would say the most oppressed people in the world, the poorest people in the world. They're also the bravest and most steadfast people that I've ever come across, met personally, and even, of course, heard about on a political sense. They've got the whole world against them, more or less. Israel is involved in that war. Saudi Arabia, as you've mentioned, and the Emirates. The Americans and the British are in the command centers leading this war. It's not just supplying weapons. Of course, the Saudis couldn't organize a drink up in a brewery, I think is the polite term. These guys couldn't organize a war. It's the American and British so-called military advisors who are running this morbid show. And yet, they've not only not managed to really get anywhere, the Yemenis are consistently handing the backsides of the Saudi soldiers to them, or their mercenaries, bombing targets in Saudi itself, launching quite sophisticated strikes, actually, against the UAE and against Saudi itself. And I think on that front as well, there will have to be at some point, if Mohammed bin Salman isn't completely stupid and isn't a complete madman, although it could be argued he is, he'll have to come and accept that there has to be some kind of political solution and some kind of peace made, because the Yemeni people simply will not give in. But it is heartbreaking. You know, there are tens of millions of people at risk of famine, of cholera, starvation. And yet it seems the world just turns its eyes away. It views as those people as less than complete, less than human. But of course, there are many people who do have that love and care for Yemeni people, and many charities doing great work out there. And so, you know, it's important that people, we don't get too negative in these circumstances and too frustrated, because, yes, the rest of the world is hypocritical. There is a lot of double standards in how these different conflicts are viewed, but at the same time, there's also a lot to be positive about. And again, the conflict in Yemen has broken all of these, if you will, these fault lines, these geopolitical fault lines down, and really exposed many of these countries for who they are.
Well, Sheikh Zayed, the late ruler of the United Arab Emirates, whom I knew well and met many times, said to me once, vis-a-vis Iraq, all wars have to end sometime. The Arabs, he said, have been fighting each other for millennia, but all wars have to end sometime. What did you think when you saw President Bashar al-Assad of Syria meeting the rulers of the United Arab Emirates, who tried mightily to destroy the Syrian Arab Republic over the last decade?
I think this is a reflection of, firstly, the loss of these Arab Gulf countries, or these Persian Gulf countries, should I say, but the Arab rulers of them, who have been for many years trying to overthrow Bashar al-Assad. But interestingly enough, in that time, there's been a split amongst the Gulf. So you've got the Qataris going up against the Saudis and the Emiratis. And the Qataris, in general, very vaguely, have played a more positive role. But in Syria, it would appear that they've been trying to stir up the rebels again, and the kind of terrorist groups who are in Idlib and so on. And maybe Bashar is sending them a message by saying, it's okay, I'll just go to your neighbors and your enemies for those reconstruction funds. And it is, you know, it's sickening for many people, many Syrians, no doubt, to see that the people who essentially bankrolled the destruction of their country are now welcoming their leader. But, you know, this is the reality of politics, of realpolitik. And we've just seen a couple of weeks ago the Russians backing the Emirates on that resolution to do with Yemen. And it's really kind of disappointing for many people to see that. On the other hand, I was speaking to somebody from Yemen the other day, and he was saying, well, a lot of the weapons that the resistance and the Houthis and other groups have are Russian weapons. So, you know, all of this politics is very, very unfortunate, but it would appear to me that it's a sign that Syria was successful in getting rid of the attempt against its country. But these leaders, these Emiratis and others, need to follow it up with action. They need to fund reconstruction efforts and get Syria back to where it was, which really is a jewel of the Levant and a jewel of the Middle East.
Amen. Thank you very much indeed for that, Isa Ali.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.